B-Pod Studios.
Tutcher and Rich.
I just want you to go, and like, oh yeah.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
One word that's often used to describe you has been polarizing. And I wonder what you make of that description of you, whether or not you think that that's accurate. If so, why?
I think people who know me and take the time to get to know me understand I have some qualities in my character that are okay. I am not the genius that I've heard people refer to me as. I am not the polarizing guy that people refer to me as. I'm not the monster that breathes fire that some people have referred to me as. But I'm a guy. I'm a regular human being with regular feelings and regular attributes that make me what I am. And I think some of them, as I've been told by people who know me, are okay. So I don't know if I'm polarizing or any of those other things. It's just what I am.
If by polarizing you mean I've been to both poles, I've been to the North Pole and the South Pole on expeditions.
Can you imagine the type of lack of self-awareness you would have to go in front of the media and say the words, I'm not the genius that I've heard people say that I am.
I was talking them down. They would expect they would too. Bobby, of course, is Bobby Valentine. We are Tutcher and Rich. You can watch us on Twitch at twitch.tv. You can subscribe to 98.5 The Sports up there. And that was, of course, Bobby Valentine. And when to give you some background on why Bobby Valentine is so fascinating to us, when Bobby Valentine was hired to be manager of the Red Sox, he had put a spell on these baseball writers. And there was an article, and I will try to find it while I'm talking because it's worth reading because I can never do it justice. It was about, Boston, you just got lucky.
You got no idea who's about to show up here, guys.
Yeah, like you just hit the lottery.
I mean, and then it talked about how he built a fence.
Yeah, that's what I want to find.
Okay, I think just Google Bobby Valentine. He built a fence.
Yeah, I think I found it. it's like a warm smile, Bobby Valentine. Oh no, this is too old.
A warm smile. The baseball writers fawned over this guy when he first came to town, and then of course remember there was all the shenanigans when it was all over, where he was Shaughnessy was doing an interview with somebody, and then
it's not true. I'm not trying to get fired, folks. It's not true. It's not
that?
True.
Did you get that?
It's all made up by him. It's not true.
Oh, everybody just loves Bobby V.
All this thing is about him breaking a leg climbing a climbing wall. But it was like, John, find the article.
I'm doing my best, Chad. I'm doing the same thing you are.
Is this when he used the Pythagorean theorem? Yes.
Because I got to find it because it's so great.
Oh, sure.
Fence. How do you spell theorem?
T-H-E-O-R-E-M.
Huh?
T-H-E-O-R-E-M.
Theorem. All I know is that I lived in Back Bay at the time, and I remember looking out and seeing the people waiting outside of the Colonnade where he lived, and he came rolling in one day on his bike. Remember, he used to bike over to Fenway, and this was right when everyone thought he was going to get fired, and he eventually did, but there was like the press was basically chasing Bobby V on his bike, and he stopped and would do the whole interview with his like bike helmet on and just sit there for the press. Oh, what a disaster that was. It was so much of a disaster that it was fun. And then, of course, the next year they win the win it all, which was fantastic. Fantastic. Oh, yeah. God bless Bobby V. That was a entertaining period of time with that idiot.
I just found this. It says, it's unlikely Valentine's success with the Red Sox will ever match his culinary grand slam. While everyone knows Einstein invented the theory of relativity, Valentine claims to have created the wrap sandwich.
Yes, that was the thing.
There's pretty good evidence for it. A wrap is a version, for the layman out there, a wrap is a version of a taco or a burrito that includes your normal sandwich fillings wrapped in a pita or soft flour tortilla.
Oh, my God.
If you want to limit yourself, I mean, sometimes they put them in a spinach tortilla. Don't tell Ma. Not buying it. Wikipedia posted a couple lines on Bobby Valentine's profile that credit the sports bar Bobby V's Sports Gallery Cafe in Stamford, Connecticut, as the first restaurant everywhere to serve the sandwich. Bobby, what do we got to do? We're all out of bread. Oh, I'm baking as fast as I can, Bobby. All we have is turkey and ham and bacon. Put it in a wrap. What? Put it in a tortilla. But Bobby! Listen carefully. Fold it like a burrito. But Bobby, don't got burrito stuff in it. It ain't Mexican. Are you going to listen to me? Are you going to freak out? Everyone calm down. Just give me the wrap. He folds it up.
Yep.
Give it to Joe at the bar. But Joey's the, you don't like nothing. Give it to Joe at the bar. What's going on? Joe's eyeballing it. Is he taking a bite yet? Bobby, he's going for it. He'll be okay. He's taking a bite. Bobby, Joe's smiling. He loves it. Yeah. Go about your business. Put it on the menu.
So, listen, he's already done reinventing the sandwich menu all over the world, but now he's setting his sights on something bigger, Fred. Being that public servant that we all know that we want. Bobby Valentine running for mayor of Stamford, Connecticut, and he has come out with a political ad which gets people from every different genre, every different race, every different creed to talk about how great Bobby Valentine is.
People saying, Bobby, why aren't you the Pope? And I said, let's take care of Stamford first, all right, gang?
That's right. Stamford first, the Vatican second.
I mean, I already talked to God and told him what it gives. Bobby, what's in the vaccine? Don't worry about it. Thousand Island. All right, so this is Bobby Valentine's commercial for the people to run
his political ad, which is now running all throughout Stamford, Connecticut. Let's listen to good old Bobby V.
It's been great to see Stamford.
Hey, if you'll excuse me, I'm just tickling the keys of my Casio keyboard.
Sounds more like an excuse me. I'm almost done starring in this 1998 Cinemax movie.
Yeah, excuse me. If you aren't familiar, this is Bobby Valentine from the movie Hard Ticket to Hawaii.
That's what it sounds like.
When I'm not banging Donna Spear on camera, I'm helping the people of Stamford. Bobby, what are you doing? It's called a synthesizer. It's a piano, but you plug it in.
It's been great to see Stamford grow the way it has grown over the years. And I want to lead us into that new world.
And you can tell I'm very modern by the music behind me. You might have enjoyed this on an episode of Maddox.
Maddox? Really?
Yes, I was on an episode of Maddox. Wow. I played a corpse.
That Stamford will be in the future.
It's an honor to be a part of who and what he is. Bobby Valentine.
Now, if you don't recognize the voice, that's Obama.
That's great to be part of what he is. A failure.
A guy running for a mid-sized town's election.
Stamford's pretty.
It's an honor.
Mid-sized town, Stamford, Connecticut. It's no, it's not a city. Let's not go crazy. It's no Newton.
It's an honor to be a part of who and what he is. Bobby Valentine.
Bobby is Stanford. Stanford is Bobby.
I want you guys to not hit on any issue. I just want you to say my name and the name of the town. Stanford is Bobby. It is an honor to be part of Bobby. Don't give them any particulars at all. Don't give up my game plan.
So what you're saying is that Stanford is annoying and disappointing. And
full of themselves. Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, excuse me. I'm building a fence with the Pythagorean theorem. Here are some cool friends of mine to tell you my name. I'm very busy right now saving people and helping old ladies cross streets.
It's an honor to be a part of who and what he is. Bobby Valentine.
Bobby is Stanford. Stanford is Bobby.
He's a leader. He listens to people. He understands what this city needs. His roots are here.
I really like the understanding that he has to bring change.
He will know your name. If he didn't see you for 3 months, he will still know who you were.
I don't forget names. Vote Valentine. Your name is Chuck. Can I count on you vote? Bobby, what do you think? Stanford is heading into an environmental crisis. Well, it's interesting you asked that, Jack. I yield to my opponent. In fairness, he knew the moderator's name. What are you going to do about our tax collecting problem, Bobby? It's interesting you say that, Joe.
I want to go there.
I'm Stanford.
I want to go to one of his like press conferences and just ask him like actual tough questions for him to answer.
Or just to hand him like a model rocket and go, how fast can you make it?
Bobby, why are you so great, and what's your stance on abortion?
Well, it's funny. If you ask me to perform an abortion, I'd probably make a real cool gadget to do it real quick.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
It'd be the fastest, coolest abortion ever.
Wow.
Yeah, I could churn out lots of abortions right away.
It's quite impressive.
Imagine if someone asked him like a real question, like a real tough political question. Just that Bobby V has to be, because you know what he wants to be? He's like the guy who wants to like own a restaurant just so he can walk around and shake hands with people at the table. Doesn't think about all the actual tough stuff that comes with it, with being a real deal politician. He just thinks like he's going to be the guy at the grand opening with the giant scissors. That's as far as his head goes.
Yeah, I'm pretty good at cutting ribbons.
Oh, why is it in a plane?
Bobby has been involved in the community and behind closed doors a lot, sometimes out in the open, but he does so much that nobody really knows about.
Yeah, I do a lot of things under the cloak of darkness. I think everyone's asleep. It's time to start helping the city out a lot. I pick up cans. There's lots of trash on the road. Bobby, what are you doing? Picking up trash. And giving out abortions. My cousin owns a Jiffy Lube. We could use one of the stalls to perform them.
Oh, jeez, man. I mean,
I'm just thinking, what do you want?
Someone said,
I sweep the roads while you sleep.
Hey, Bobby, you're an awesome guy. Where do you stand on the Palestine conflict?
I know.
I just want to ask him legitimate questions and see how his head explodes.
I know a Jewish guy and an Arab guy, and they both think I'm tops.
Really? So you can solve this problem?
If I wanted to.
Okay.
It would be like the video for Rock the Casbah. I would have a Hasid and a oil baron both come to the show.
Bobby is an amazing manager of people, and he will bring that to the city.
Yeah.
Well, I think that's one thing you know.
Spot on. An amazing manager of people.
I taught Iglesias to play short by standing out there with him.
That's Dustin Pedroia, how good he is.
Yeah. Kevin Youkilis, any of them.
Sure. I'm sure David Ortiz would love to star in your next commercial.
Iglesias was the best defensive shortstop in baseball, and I stood on the field with him like he was 12.
I'm Bobby Valentine, and I'm running to be mayor of our city, Stamford, Connecticut. We're in it together.
Yeah. We're in it together. Me and you, we could be in a three-legged race, too. Wow. Three-legged races for everybody.
Well, the clubhouse of the Red Sox.
I'm telling you, this guy doesn't like Mike behind the mic.
Why not? Or why isn't he like you anymore?
Because someone started a mean parody account of me, and then I went to the site and I looked, and it was one follower and one following, and it was both Mike behind the mic.
Oh, boy.
Which sounds like a very Mike behind the mic thing to do. I don't think Mike behind the mic likes me.
So you think he started a mean account about you?
Doesn't it seem like something Mike behind the mic would do? He would start an account and then just follow himself?
I think you would kind of immediately know by how the things were written on the parody account whether it was Mike behind the mic.
There was nothing on the parody account that made me think it wasn't Mike behind the mic. It wasn't an act of brilliance. I don't want to accuse the kid of something, but I just, it did hurt my feelings.
He's hated more than the Yankees, and even more by you and me.
So it said, hey, Bobby, if you're elected Stanford, will you implement snack time as a rule of law?
So everyone gets a break at about 9:30 in the morning?
That's right. That was so great when they were praising him for having a snack time.
Oh, they praised him for the dumbest crap. It's stuff. And listen, I get a lot of things wrong, but I mean, and what do I know? But I knew the minute that those dumb base, I don't know how those guys are around the game that much. The minute they started reporting positively, mind you, about the garbage he was doing in spring training, you wouldn't do that with a 13 and under good travel team.
Right. No downtime. It's right quickly from one drill to another.
I mean, he would get in the batter's box with Bogarts, and like he was out there with Iglesias at shortstop. I don't know. I think it was Bogarts. I think Bogarts was on that team. And yeah. And
is that right?
He was dumb drills, and it was just nonsense. It was just complete nonsense. And they all bought into it. All those baseball writers thought it was the greatest thing ever. And you couldn't get 13-year-olds to do that. They would think it was stupid. But there was Bobby. I am going to be mayor. I am building a fence through Stamford. And I put a line down my apartment in the middle because I'm not getting along with my roommate, but I was smart and I have the front door and the bathroom. Hey, smart guy, how are you going to leave the apartment? The lines are to my side. All right, so we will be back. Bobby Valentine, he deserves your votes. We will be right back in just a moment.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
To get you going every day.
I don't care for the sportsman-like talk.
Toucher and Rich.
At least let me live in a fantasy world that for 3 hours you hate each other.
On 98.5, the Sports Hub.
To kind of bring the band back together, all of those contracts are mortgaged as well. Well, why are they mortgaged? Because that's the only way that they can make everybody, that's the only way that they can make everybody happy financially and keep everybody in-house. And eventually, it's like credit cards. You know, like, all of that's going to come due at some point. And the Packers just, as a rule, haven't done that. They've always had very clean contracts. The reason why I think that trigger is an interesting detail is not only will the Packers not do it with other people's contracts, they won't do it. They're not doing it with Aaron's contract. You know what I mean? The guy who would want you to do that with his contract, they're not doing it with his contract. And so it's just, it's two different team building philosophies. And, you know, if you're 25 years old or 30 years old and you're Aaron Rodgers, then, you know, maybe you're okay with the Packers building that way. But again, if you look at it, you say, we may only have two or three more shots at this. You know, Aaron's probably thinking, like, no, I want you to mortgage every contract on this roster.
Yeah.
So we can fit as many good people in here as we possibly can.
The Sports Hub with Toucher and Rich. That's, I take it, Bert Breer talking about Aaron Rodgers.
Yeah, I thought that was the clip. I played the wrong clip of him saying that Aaron Rodgers apparently has been taking after Tom Brady in more ways than one this offseason, not just looking and seeing that the grass might be greener somebody somewhere else, but also trying out the TB12 method.
Mm.
According to Burt Breer, I guess Aaron Rodgers has reached out and looked for some advice, bought the book, and is now trying to replicate the success that Tom Brady has had in keeping himself nice and pliable. So.
But, I mean, there is going to be a moment where he doesn't have Guerrero following him around everywhere. And, I mean, Aaron Rodgers is going to get very, very jealous about that.
He needs his own personal Guerrero, I guess.
Yeah, I mean, well, there's only one Guerrero. You're dismissing what Guerrero is. The best thing is that Tom Brady was at the Kentucky Derby. And there's like a picture of him, like where, you know, wherever superstar booth he's in, and Guerrero's like just like in there, like with his head like around his chest, just like, hey, like I'm Guerrero, like I'm here.
He just puts him in the backpack and carries him around like Yoda and Luke Skywalker.
He's just like, I mean, boy, oh boy, I mean, can you imagine? He's with that guy more than I'm with my family, and I'm trapped with my family constantly. And he's always with Guerrero. I mean, Guerrero goes on dude trips. I mean, Guerrero's doing the whole nine.
They are everywhere. And now he will be returning to Foxborough week 4, according to the schedule. And yesterday, the TB12 Twitter account tweeted out a photo of that famous one of Tom Brady in black and white. Is he walking in Foxborough? Is he leaving Foxborough? Who knows? But either way, it says at the bottom, hashtag the return.
And I will do my little thing again, is I don't know, as a Patriot fan that spent 15 years, 16 years agonizing over boring ass legal briefs, bitching about ESPN having some kind of motivation against the team, saying Roger Goodell wanted the team to fail, even though the most powerful owner, or if not the one of the top three most powerful owners in football, is the owner of the New England Patriots. You, all this nonsense, all this crap I had to sit through. And the idea that that doesn't drive you insane as a Patriot fan is that here we are in May, the day the schedule is released, and he puts some like heroic photo of him returning to Gillette, and you're all going to sit there clapping and going, I don't understand how you don't want this guy. Now, listen.
What's that?
Oh, well, listen. You guess who we have on the phone with us?
Who?
Mr. Bruce Cassidy from the Boston Bruins.
About that? Let's full stop. Let's.
Dude, who knew what that? Yeah. Who knew that was happening? I was about to. You ruined it, Bruce. I was about to go into a sweet thing.
I want to hear about it.
Well, of course you do. You're like everyone else in Boston, hanging on my every word. I mean, how the audacity of you to call in unannounced and just come in. I mean, I know you're a big fan of the show and you just want to be part of the gang. But, I mean, it's not like anyone told you to call in. Thank you so much for calling in. We were unaware that you were, but thank you so much. We do appreciate it. Now I'll have to feverishly go over my notes to figure out what's going on.
I've got something to start with. You were talking the other day. Well, first of all, just your decision behind making Swayman the backup this year for the playoffs.
I think it was circumstance. Honestly, Tuca gets hurt, goes on a little longer probably than we liked. So Yaro then goes into COVID protocol. So we look at Vlader and Swayman, and I just thought he... He really looked composed. Guys played well in front of him. had some difficult starts, had some other ones that weren't as difficult, but whatever we seemed to throw at him, he handled. So just one of those things that he got more playing time down the stretch than Yarrow, and I think that matters, and through no fault of Yarrow's, it just worked out that way. And he just seemed to be up to the challenge. So it was that simple. Now, it doesn't mean we can't go switch it back at some point, because we're hoping that Tuukka will handle the load anyway. That'll be schedule determinant, play determinant, all that stuff. So, but right now, that's the way we see it. Yarrow will get some reps in practice, but just didn't get a chance to play much down the stretch, I guess. And there wasn't a lot of games we could, in hindsight, flip-flop. Maybe, won the last five or six, but Tuukka had three of those anyway, and that was the plan. So maybe there's one game, we could have switched him and Swayman. We just felt Jeremy was just a little fresher and had played better down the stretch.
Well, it is exciting to have a young goaltender in the mix. Now, Trent Frederick is a guy that, is big, he's physical, and you're playing a team in Washington that, we all know is a very physical team. What is the plan with Frederick right now? Is he someone you envision in game one, or how are you leaning with him?
Yeah, that one's still up in the air a little bit. It's probably the last decision, and I'll tell you what goes into it is, he missed time as well, had an illness, not COVID, just, and I think he fell behind down the stretch, a young guy. And then, we liked the Corrali-Richie Coyle combo we came up with, a bigger group. And that's where Freddie might have been part of it. But like I said, he got hurt, so it forced our hand a little bit, not hurt, but sick. And then you look at DeBrusk on the left, seems to have played better. His game's come around. So then it becomes, well, who goes to the right side? And Freddie hasn't played the right at all. So Wagner goes back in. Lazar's in the middle. So now it's, does Freddie all of a sudden play center down the stretch going into the playoffs? He's played mostly left wing. So there's a little bit of that that goes into it. We like what Richie's done on the left side. So you end up having three left wingers for two spots in Richie, Frederick, and DeBrus. So that's something we have to consider, moving Jake back over if we're going to put Freddie in. And, that's, something we didn't do down the stretch. So that's the tough part. Doesn't mean he can't go in eventually either after, game one if we don't go in. If he doesn't go in game one, we'll see how the series plays out. But we liked his matchup against Washington. Did a good job for us, obviously. So that's one we got to keep an eye on.
Okay, so with Trent Frederick, at the beginning of the season, he was super physical, and then he started scoring some goals. I know he was involved in a game with Washington where Carlo got hurt. I know myself and some other people at the station were wondering, was there a situation where you kind of told Frederick to back off a little bit to maybe he I don't know how to put it, he was being overly aggressive or something of that nature, or was that just how the season evolved?
No, we want his energy, we want his physicality. If he's going to be annoying out there to top guys, we had no issue with that. I just think there's only so many players like that out there, to be honest with you. Like he certainly, tried to stir the pot in Pittsburgh. I think he did a good job with Letang, all those guys. But there's certain times, after a while, guys are going to be like, hey, stay away from this guy, he's trying to get you off his game. Like,
right.
He gets your reputation, right? So I think people left him alone a little bit in that regard. So, you need a dance partner if you want to dance. So there's a little bit of that going into it. The team start to know now that, hey, this young guy is going to try to affect the game. So, and the other night he was trying to do it again with Wilson. And
oh, sure.
Them both off. So it's not like he doesn't want to do it. It's just I think, there's, guys that are starting to recognize that, he's good at getting people off their game. So, but going to the playoffs, I think teams know that there's a certain level of discipline on both sides they have to stick to. But we'll see how it plays out. I mean, eventually there's going to be animosity, whether it's the first shift or halfway through the first game or game two or three. Sometimes it takes a while. Sometimes you have it right away. So we'll see how it is. I think we got guys in the lineup that are, physically can take care of themselves and stick up for their teammates. So we'll see if we need Freddie in that regard. I think the fact that he missed time, honestly, the 3-4 weeks hurt his overall game. Never mind the other stuff, just his play, his ability to make plays on the wall, finish plays, get, just play with pace, all those other things that, didn't allow him a lot of time to catch up later in the season.
So Frederick would be, it sounds like someone that, I know it's a last decision yours, but someone that depending on how the series goes, depending on the style of play of the series, he's someone that you might think of inserting as the series goes on.
If he's not in right away, he's a guy that we know that there's, I guess, there's a club in your bag that you know that if you need that element, he's right there and willing to do it. I just wish as a coach, and I think everyone would agree, that if he was able to play down the stretch and keep building his overall game, just, you know, the ability to play and get pucks off the wall and all the little things that go into the game that are not physicality related type of thing, and unfortunately didn't get that time. And some of those young guys, they can't pick it up as quick, you know, when you miss time. Other guys can go right back in the lineup and find their game. So that's the part that it's unfortunate for him, but it is what it is. I mean, we're relatively healthy as we've been all year, so we're not going to complain about it. Just it was bad timing, a bit like Yarrow's, you know, like him going out and some other guy stepped up, like, and his name happened to be Swayman. So up front, you know, Jake found his game a little bit later on, and so it's what element you want. You want some team speed ability to score, or do you want that heaviness? And we're going to have to decide that as we go. And you don't know until the series plays out and who's going to step up, who isn't. But that's where we're at right now. It's a good problem.
Okay, yeah, it is a good problem to have. Now, you mentioned the third line, and you made a dramatic change to the third line, and it worked. I mean, everything was pretty much working at the end of the year. And you mentioned it in the beginning of this conversation, but I just want to make it clear. So the intention is to keep Coyle on the wing and kind of keep that third line the way it was as you finished up the season?
Well, the other option we had was with Coyle, it goes back in the middle with DeBrusk and, say, Akasha, right? He came back, so we didn't know on that. So now you got a little more skill. You got a scoring third line, or at least scoring by, you know, on their resume. You know, none of them have had the year we wanted offensively yet. You know, they're all helping us win at the end. So now Akasha being the exception, but, you know, he wasn't able to get through the game. We didn't know that, where he'd end up. So that was a bit of a wild card. So that leads us back to that bigger third line. And the fact that Krejci's line has done a lot of scoring. And so now is it like, well, do you need that third line to finish plays on a consistent basis, or do you need a little more from them in terms of physicality and setting the tempo and hard to play against, wearing teams down so that those top two lines can take advantage of that? And that's what we got a little out of that second line. So now you got two really dynamic lines at the top that are scoring. So do you need less from their third? So all those things balance themselves out as you go. If we get the goaltending we feel we'll get and our penalty kill stays strong, that might be enough scoring. So those are things you know, you go through the playoffs and that sort themselves out as you go, and you make the adjustments, you know, kind of as you need them.
I heard you talking at the other night after the game about how healthy this team is going into the playoffs, and obviously that's a great thing. But I also think there's a difference between being healthy on paper and being healthy and playing well, because healthy in quotes can be that they're good enough to be out there and skate, but they're dealing with some lingering injury. Do you think that this year is different in the aspect as compared to other years, and that they're actually playing at a level, and it's not just that their body's out there, but they seem to be playing at the high level that you expect?
Yeah, that's a good point, right? Because you always find out after. Like last year, you know, Pasta wasn't himself in the bubble and had surgery, right? For a reason, and Marshy did. So they were playing through stuff. You know, listen, we're not going to give you a rundown on every guy, but we are more healthy than we were, say, last year going in. Those guys are feeling good about their games and where they're at, and health-wise. The only question mark was Charlie Coyle. Well, he's going to be at practice today. He got hit with a puck, so there was a little bit of a lingering effect there and a little bit of cautiousness as well. We think he's going to be good to go. So, yes, that's a good point. And our guys are in good shape. We know we've managed Kevin Miller. He's had an injury over the years, but that's a maintenance thing. So, for the most part, I don't anticipate a ton of guys going sort of at the end of the year going, hey, you know, I was playing through this or that. Now, playoffs, well, you know, listen, you're going to accrue some injuries in that just from the physicality of it, especially if you have the run you want to have. So, but right now, I would say yes. It's healthy bodies, and it's healthy playing well going in. So, really, as good as we've been over the last 3 or 4 years. So, knock on wood, it translates into success.
Yeah, and is there anything over those last couple of postseasons? Obviously, the run to the Game 7 of the Stanley Cup Final, and then last year. Is there anything that you've learned over those past couple of seasons that you were thinking, all right, well, next time I'm going to do this in order to keep this team healthy and also to be more effective in the postseason? Are there any lessons over the last couple of years that you've learned?
I think the lesson, I guess, the more you go at it is almost like the next game. It doesn't matter what happened the game before. For the most part, it's a new challenge, and that's why you see teams that are able to come back from being down is you got to put things behind you in a hurry, and you got to keep the mindset about the next game, and you know, win or lose, it's on to the next game mentality for the players. As a staff, it's okay. What happened? What do we have to do to correct it quickly? What can we do to correct it quickly without a lot of practice time? So I think that's what you learn as a coach, is you're moving on to the next game and ability to get the guy's mindset where it needs to be. As for the rest, I think it changes from year to year. What do you need? I think for the most part, guys do not want to practice and be, you know, in the middle of a series unless they need to really work on something. For example, maybe the power play, right? Something a little specific, or a certain area that, hey, this play in the neutral zone is going to be there against this type of defense. Let's button that up. But in general, they want to rest and be ready to go. What do we need to do tonight to be a little better in the game before, and off you go. So less is more a little bit, I think, is what you learn over time.
Are you worried about a guy like Tom Wilson? And how do you approach someone who just so recently, I mean, looked to almost to be, that could have ended up a lot worse than it was. How do you approach a team that has a player like that on it?
Well, for us, fortunately, we're a little better equipped, and I got to be careful how I say this, to handle the Tom Wilsons and maybe the Rangers were, and right. It showed with Carlo. Listen, we can't take back the hit on Carlo, right? It happened. The refs didn't feel it was suspendable, yet the league gives them 7 games. So we felt, okay, if the refs aren't going to sort of handle this, then we will internally. And I thought we did. We had guys lined up to take care of business that night. Two of them did. I think we had one or two more that were ready to handle it. And that's what you have to do if need be. And I think that's how we feel about Tom Wilson or any of their players if they, you know, sort of cross the line. And other than that, I don't think you can go looking for it and put yourself in a position where their power play is taking advantage of us, because it is very good. Our penalty kill is excellent as well, so we'll deal with that, but we don't want to put extra burden on ourselves. So, you know, let's be hard on them. Keep an eye on Wilson. The D have to know he's coming and going to finish checks. That's part of it. There have to be a little more awareness when he's on the ice. That's built in. I think guys know that. But the other stuff, you got to be careful that you're not putting your team at a disadvantage, yet still keep them honest, right? And that's why we have some bigger bodies in the lineup. I feel that can handle that. And Frederick, as you pointed to earlier, might be a guy down the road. But right now we do have Richie. We have Kevin Miller. We have some bigger bodies that can talk to him as it goes along. So that's why it's going to be such a good series.
Well, I will say it, and I know you won't, at least you probably will on the bench, but the league cannot afford to have Wilson do anything. That would reflect very, very poorly on them. So you would think that maybe he's under a little bit of a microscope.
Yeah, we don't know that. Like, that stuff we can't control. You know,
yes.
Potentially that stuff had great talking points, but for us internally, it's like we got to take care of our own business.
And that's why I said I'll say. That's why I said I'd say it, because I know you won't. So
nope.
That's what I'm saying. That's why I said I'm working the refs for you, Bruce. That's what I'm doing.
Appreciate
right
that.
Now.
Get after them early.
They're all big fans. All right.
Just text us whatever you want us to say.
Yeah, exactly. I'll be so. Everything I say about the Bruins is straight from Cassidy's mouth. He just won't let you know. We're here to help. All right.
I appreciate that help. Yeah.
Bruce Cassidy, thanks so much as always. We always love having you on, and thanks so much for coming on. And best of luck. Believe it. It
all
helps
right,
us, too, when you win. All right,
yeah,
thank you so much.
Thanks, Bruce.
Right.
Appreciate it.
All right, appreciate it. Thank you so much. Bruce Cassidy, by surprise. Very nice.
We better break.
Yeah. All right, we will be right back.
98.5, the sports.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking 5 of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on 5 we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top 5? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
What they they say in the morning, you'll be talking about all day.
This is a dumb conversation, but, you know, why the hell not? That's what we do.
Tutcher and Rich, 98.5, The Sports Hub.
Why do I even bother?
What's struggling that? Over there?
Yeah.
What's going on?
Never mind. All right. So the thing, it's nothing big and nothing worth discussing. We only have a couple of minutes. So good on Cassidy for calling in. We didn't know he was going to, but what we did learn, and I love how upfront is concretely we know what the fourth and third lines are going to look like. So we know what the Bruins are going to line up with. They're going to play the same third line. They're going to have DeBrusque, Corrali, and Coyle. And then their fourth line is going to be Lazar in the middle with...
not Frederick.
But Frederick, we learned Frederick could play in this series. He is the last guy out. And that if the series dictates and they need someone to be physical, and he's going to be the guy. And if... Wilson is a big problem, then that could mean that Terrence Frederick is coming in and playing for this team, which surprised me, is I thought there was a very good chance that Frederick would start the series on the fourth line, but that is not the case. So basically, the last real game they played, the lineup that they had out there is basically who's going to be playing in this series.
I just thought it was great that he said, we are better equipped to handle a guy like Tom Wilson than the Rangers were.
Oh, the Rangers at that point. I mean, he's not saying anything out of school. Yeah, I mean, that was completely obvious.
Rangers have a bunch of you know, finesse players in that lineup. And, you know, you have a guy like Buchnevich who took a punch to the back of the head while, you know, going around and doing some major stick work on people before he finally got ejected. I mean, that's not the way you do things. And it's interesting, the one thing he did say about Frederick was he didn't forget how to play. It's that other teams just started leaving him alone and wouldn't let him get into that agitating type of play. You know, the word gets around the league that that's what this kid's about, so let's leave him alone. He's only going to be out there for 10 minutes, and during that 10 minutes, don't worry about things. So it wasn't that he scored a ton of goals and then just decided to be a finesse player. He just was taken completely out of his game by the rest of the league.
It's been a while I felt this good about the Bruins going to the playoffs. Just at the level that they're playing, and how ever since the trade deadline, that second line has been fire. On top of that, you've got the first line. Remember how they had trouble scoring during the Stanley Cup final run when they made it to Game 7? Like, that was one of the biggest issues. Everybody seems to be playing at a level that you would hope for at the beginning of the season. Mm-hmm. There doesn't seem to be a lot of things to... like Achilles heels right now with this team.
Look at how well they did against Pittsburgh. They split the eight games against the Capitals. They beat the Islanders the last three times they played them.
Yep.
I mean, you have to like their chances to get out of the division, if nothing else.
Yeah, I do like the Bruins in this, and I'll tell you what, Swayman makes me feel a lot better of everything that's going on. All right, Danny Ainge scheduled to join us. We'll be right back.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.